Part 3, Chapter 7, The Tall Preacher. One of the most vital parts of the establishment of the Harborite radio station was the erection of the tower, which would carry the radio signal from the transmitter. We needed to erect a 160-foot tower to do this job, and had a used one shipped to Caracou in our first shipment of equipment for the station. The tower needed to be cleaned and painted before it was erected. Roland worked for many weeks at this job. The 20-foot tower sections were lying on the ground in the backyard of our house in the village of Lester. When we moved over the ridge to the village of Mount Pleasant, we also moved the tower sections to the radio station site there. We needed someone with experience in erecting towers to come and supervise its erection. The Lord had already spoken to a man with this experience who was willing to come and do that job. Roland met John McPherson after a meeting at Faith Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. John said, "I would be willing to come to Caracou and help you erect your tower. In fact, I will also be glad to buy the tools and equipment needed for the job and bring them down with me." We praise the Lord for this answer to prayer. We asked John to allow us to purchase some of the equipment he brought down for the tower erection. He suggested we give the equipment amount to Grand Bay Gospel Hall for new hymn books. Roland told Brother Benjamin Isaac the good news, but the next day Brother Isaac said, "It is more important at this time for the Harborite to have the funds than to use them for new hymn books at the hall." That has been the attitude of these good folks at the Gospel Hall in Caracou from the time they first heard about the establishment of the Harborite. We thank the Lord for them. We also thank the Lord for Brother John McPherson, whose expert assistance in putting up the tower was indispensable and invaluable. John arrived on the island of Caracou on May 27, 1990. In addition to Roland, our son Randy, and two regular hired laborers already in Caracou, a missionary's son and a recently converted Rasta from Grenada came for 4 days to help us. They all did their parts very well. On Monday morning, May 28th, John started building the tower. It was a beautiful sunny day. This was another indication that the Lord was with us in its erection. We had beautiful weather the entire time John was in Caracou. Just after he left, we had stormy, rainy weather, which turned the dry ground into very sticky mud. When this perseverance clay gets wet, it is like trying to walk on ice. So we thank the Lord for good weather when we needed it. John and two others pushed up the first 20-foot section of the tower as three fellows held the ropes. Then they lifted it up carefully onto the base insulator. After aligning the stub, John climbed it and attached the erection fixture near the top of one leg. The load line was fastened to this cable grip at the rear of our Jeep. Then with the Jeep, they pulled up the second section, and John bolted it in place. The first set of guy cables at the 40-foot level were attached and pulled out to the anchors where they were connected, and the tower was again aligned with the transit. It was now 40 feet tall. The men repeated this process 4 times, so that at the end of the first day, the tower was 120 feet tall. Everything went smoothly. While the men worked at the tower site the next day, I was busy in the kitchen at home preparing lunch for them. From time to time, I picked up the binoculars to watch the progress on the tower erection. Our house was 1 mile from the harbor light and in view of the tower site. I continued cooking, and suddenly my heart skipped a beat. I knew something was wrong, but I was afraid to look. I quickly breathed a prayer for the fellows. When I finally looked out at the tower, I saw all the men on the ground standing around the tower looking down. I thought, "Oh no, Lord, someone's been hurt." I could do nothing except pray as I anxiously awaited their return to the house. When the men came home for lunch, they were a sober bunch. Rowan told me what happened. "We figured we could get up the 3 remaining sections and bolt on the beacon by noon." The first pull went well, taking the tower to 140 feet. At about 11 a.m., we began the next pull with the 140 to 160 foot section. I was inching the Jeep on down the hill and watching Randy for signals when it all began to happen. The higher we went up, the further the fellows had to go out from the tower with the tagline. Randy was calling, "Further out, don't let it hit the tower." Then he began yelling, "Get out of the way, Richard." At the same time, the balance of the load line on the Jeep began spinning the spool around wildly behind my driver's seat as it unreeled. All the time, Randy was yelling, "Richard, leave the cable and get out of the way." I looked up backwards from the Jeep and saw the 20-foot section plunging to earth. It had missed everything in its downward path, but now it was on a collision course with the lower guy cable. Unable to do anything, we all watched as it bounced off the insulator at the 40-foot guy cable, skidding down on top of the insulator, the cable, and 15 feet of guy cable, watching, catching the next guy grip before jumping off and hitting the ground. From John's vantage point at 140 feet, the section had almost reached up to him. John chimed in, "I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw that section begin to descend, although the Jeep was not moving. I watched speechlessly as it missed the guy cables at 180 feet. But then, as it headed toward the lowest guy cable at 40 feet, I was afraid it would hit it, break it, and the other two guy cables would pull in the opposite direction and pull the tower down, taking me down with it. I was sure it was all over. Roland continued, as John watched the section hit the lower guy cable, shaking the whole tower as it skidded down the guy cable before jumping off to earth. No one was injured. John climbed down the tower, and we all thanked the Lord for taking care of us in a very dangerous moment. Roland later continued the report to our mission board, Aviation Radio Missionary Service. At once we began investigating for the cause of the failure. We discovered the load line had slipped out of the guy grip on the rear of the Jeep. Although we were not completely satisfied with its arrangement, it had worked for the previous 6 pulls, but now more tension was being added each time we pulled a section higher. John and Roland checked out everything on the ground and on the tower before any further work was done. Meanwhile, the fellows began straightening the section, which had bent in 2 different places from the fall. They made some adjustments of the parts that had taken the brunt of the falling section, and by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they were ready to pull up that 140 to 160 foot section, the second time that day. John climbed up to receive it, and they began very slowly and carefully to lift it up to him. A few minutes later, John called, "That's perfect. Hold it right there." After bolting it in place, they pulled up the last of the guy cables for the 160-foot level, attached them, and pulled them out to the anchors where they were secured. The sun was setting behind Top Hill as they drove home late that afternoon, thankful for the Lord's protection. John pointed out, "If a section falls and hits a guy cable, especially the bottom one, the tower usually buckles and comes down, killing anyone on it and endangering the lives of those on the ground." Clearly, it was the Lord who kept the usual from becoming an awful reality. What a day! So what did the men learn? Roland said, "We learned that we needed to strengthen the tie point of the load line at the Jeep. We learned that both the tower and its rigging were much stronger than any of us imagined. But more importantly, we learned our Lord is strongest of all, a very present help in trouble, and is always watching over his own and caring for us all. And it is he who wants his voice established right here in Karakou." As the men went out to the antenna field on Wednesday, they were a little quieter group, conscious of God's protection, and more cautious as they pulled up that top 20-foot section to 160 feet. They praised the Lord as John bolted on the top beacon, 180 feet above the ground. The following night, they lit the beacon with a generator. Quite a few people saw it for the first time and told us so. One Karakou man's description of the tower: "It's magnificent." There it stood, tall and beautiful and silent. Soon it would be connected to a transmitter and would be sending out the voice, his voice, and that a mighty voice, radiating the magnificent word of God from God's tall preacher.